from KQED.
This is the California Report podcast. I'm Lily Jamali in Sacramento.
And I'm John Sepulveda in San Francisco, the home of Gavin Newsom. The one-time mayor of this very fine city is now taking the reins as governor of California. And as soon as Newsom takes the oath of office, he's made it very clear he's going to work on his agenda. Housing and healthcare, as you know, Lily, were among his top campaign issues.
That's right, John. KQED's Guy Marzorati and April Demboski preview what might be in store from the Newsom administration. Let's start with Guy in housing.
Newsom promised two specific policies to boost the construction of affordable homes. First, increase the size of the tax credit available to affordable housing developers to $500 million, more than five times the current limit. Newsom also wants to bring back redevelopment agencies to divert local tax dollars towards the construction of affordable homes. It remains to be seen whether or when Newsom will take on some of the tougher obstacles, like environmental regulations and local zoning controls that are used to block housing in California. Next, reporter April Demboski will talk about what Newsom faces with health care.
Thanks, Guy. Though Newsom campaigned on his support for a single-payer healthcare system, he's tried to temper expectations on how long it would take to set up. He's warned that it will take so many years to work through all the political battles, legislation, and ensuing lawsuits that it won't come together while he's governor. Instead, advocates see Newsom hiring staff who could set the groundwork by focusing on reducing healthcare costs and expanding insurance coverage. Lawmakers have already introduced a proposal to extend state coverage to more than a million undocumented immigrants. Jerry Brown declined to allocate state funding for this in his last budget. For the California Report, I'm April Demboski.
Democrats will enjoy a supermajority in the legislature as Gavin Newsom takes over. Earlier, I spoke with Rachel Michelin for the Republican perspective. She's also the CEO of CA Women Lead, which aims to get more women into politics. With Republicans' power so limited, I started by asking her who will keep Newsom and the Democrats in check.
You know, it is concerning because you have one-party rule. And I think any time you have one-party rule, it could end up being one-sided. I think you need to have a different perspective. You need to have diversity of thought. That leads to better public policy. And when you have a weak Republican Party, a weak Republican caucus, I think that is going to give the Democrats a lot of leeway to make a lot of decisions without even entertaining any different point of view.
Do you see the Republicans joining forces with Democrats, a particular faction, I'm thinking business-friendly Democrats for one, to try and get their opinions heard?
That would be smart. I mean, that absolutely.
But is it realistic?
It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, part of that comes from leadership. You have two women leading both in the Assembly and the Senate. We'll see what their perspective is. There's a lot of work to be done. And I think that they would be smart to find areas that they can work together because that will make their voice stronger.
And you, of course, lead the group CA Women Lead, aimed at getting more women into politics. First take on Gavin Newsom appointing so many women to his cabinet?
I think it's awesome. He's not only has he appointed women, he's appointed very smart, successful, passionate women who I think will make a huge difference for his administration.
Rachel Michelin, CEO of CA Women Lead, here with the Republican perspective. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And for the Democrats' point of view, PJ Johnston is here with me now. He was campaign chair for San Francisco Mayor London Breed. Hi, PJ.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Great. Thanks for being here. You were San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown's press secretary when Gavin Newsom got his first government gig on the City Parks and Rec Commission. Of course, he later became mayor. What do you think city government taught Newsom about dealing with a Democrat supermajority?
Well, I do think there's some similarities. In San Francisco, we're essentially a one-party town as well. All the elected officials in San Francisco are Democrats, and that is true on our Board of Supervisors, which is our legislative body in San Francisco. And when Gavin Newsom was the mayor of San Francisco, he had to hold in check overreach at the Board of Supervisors, especially when it came to spending. Those were difficult economic challenges in those years for the city of San Francisco. We don't know exactly where the state economy is. It's probably in better shape now than it was then. But certainly the governor is going to have to hold in check this legislature's desire to spend, you know, pent-up desire to spend. And I think Governor Brown's admonition was a wise one.
And that's going to be especially important because I think most of us will acknowledge some sort of economic slowdown, if not a recession, is on the horizon. So that could really change the picture for Gavin Newsom. He has big plans, though. Priorities include early childhood education and health care. Do you think he'll be as fiscally prudent as Jerry Brown was?
Yes, actually, I do. I think they have very different styles, but I think you'll be surprised to see that Gavin Newsom has quite a steely backbone, and he is going to hold spending in check. I think he's going to be deliberative, and he's going to work collaboratively with the state legislature. I definitely think there are lots of legitimate goals, lots of legitimate policy ideas, but in the end, a governor, an executive, has to set priorities and hold those in check.
All right. PJ Johnston, a Democratic strategist, great to have you with us this morning.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to see just how steely Gavin Newsom is when it comes to electric utilities. That's because in the face of dozens of lawsuits for its role in sparking wildfires, the huge company PG&E is considering taking some drastic steps to pay off potential claims. According to reporting by NPR, the utility is exploring selling off a major part of the company or its San Francisco headquarters and moving somewhere else in the Bay Area. NPR reporter Eric Westervelt broke this story.
They've crafted a plan they've internally called Project Falcon to put PG&E's gas arm up for sale this spring. The idea is to take a detailed plan before state regulators in April. Any proceeds from the gas sale would be used to set up a settlement fund to compensate wildfire victims from 2017 and 2018. This is all according to a senior official at the company who's been involved in the strategy and a former company official also involved in the planning.
According to Westervelt's reporting, Project Falcon has been in the works since 2017. State Senator Jerry Hill is a longtime critic of PG&E, and he says it's troubling that the utility did not tell lawmakers and Governor Jerry Brown about its plan when it was lobbying for what he called a bailout last year.
They just came to the legislature last year saying, well, you have two choices, basically. It's bankruptcy or a bailout. And never did they talk about a suggestion of an alternative that could prevent ratepayers from getting saddled with the cost of those wildfire destruction and liability.
State lawmakers ultimately approved a measure that helps protect PG&E from wildfire liability costs and under certain conditions allows the utility to push those costs to both taxpayers and ratepayers. PG&E did not respond to a request for comment but said in an announcement Friday it is reviewing structural options and searching for a new board of directors.
And John, shares of PG&E are in free fall this morning, falling on the order of about 20%. We got this report from Reuters going into the weekend from sources that the utility is exploring bankruptcy to protect itself from some of those giant liabilities due to wildfires. Before we go, award season in Hollywood kicked off last night with the Golden Globes. Last year, in the early days of the Me Too movement, you might remember, female solidarity and empowerment was front and center at the Globes. This year, that spirit was largely absent, but not entirely. During her speech for Best Supporting Actress, Regina King said every project that she produces for the next 2 years will be staffed by 50% women.
I challenge you to challenge yourselves and stand with us in solidarity and do the same.
Regina King speaking there at the Golden Globes. Lily, I want to, just before we go real quick, I wanted to say something to you. I'm actually kind of starting to feel sick. I'm feeling a little bit flu-like.
What?
I know. It's awful.
Oh,
this,
no.
Yeah, no. I'm not calling in sick. Don't worry. You're not going to have to host this all by your lonesome. What I am going to tell you, though, is that I'm not the
very
only
selfish
one. Yes, this flu season in California has been one of the deadliest. We've seen 40 people die so far in the flu season. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Also, President Trump says he's going to the southern border. He did not say whether it was California, at least as of the time we recorded this podcast, but we are anticipating him coming to the southern border. He apparently has a special affinity. This is something I've heard from advancers in the San Diego City Mayor's office. He has a special affinity for San Diego. He thinks it's very beautiful. He likes to come there. So we are expecting him to come somewhere along the southern border on Thursday. We don't know if it's going to be San Diego, but we are anticipating that it very well might be.
Well, Thursday is going to be a busy day with Gavin Newsom unveiling his budget plans as well. We're going to keep tabs on all of it. That is the California Report podcast for this Monday, January 7th. I'm Lily Jamali in Sacramento.
And I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Block Construction, a builder committed to enhancing communities in the Bay Area and Central Coast. BLACH.com, Block Construction, together building greatness. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.